But I shall call, and I will want to do something for me. I will have something for them to do. And I reserve the right to call certain ones out of this kingdom that you have sold out to Satan, who will still continue to rule for that 6,000 years. I will call those that I want. Now, among others, God did call Abraham. And later he called Moses.
And now, with a continuation of the last program in this series, here once again is Herbert W. Armstrong.
And Moses led descendants of Abraham 430 years after Abraham. There were some 2.5 to 3.5 or 4 million of them. And God had Moses lead them out of Egyptian slavery, because by that time there were slaves in Egypt. And God led them out by miracles. And God made a proposition to them that they could become his nation. Now, that contract or agreement that they made with God at that time, and the people consented to it. God didn't force it on them. He let them make their own decision, and they decided they would become God's kingdom. They said they would obey God, and they would obey his government. The only promise he gave them, however, was that they would become the greatest nation on earth. They would become the head and not the tail. They would become the wealthiest, the most prosperous, and they would have the highest standard of living and the greater physical luxuries, but all material and physical. He didn't give them what is today called salvation or the promise of eternal life. He did give that to Moses. He did give that to those that God had specially called to be his prophets, to whom he communicated and sent as messengers to carry the word of God to this nation Israel. But outside of Israel, the other nations were cut off from God. You go back in the history of ancient China, of Japan, of the other nations of Asia and Southeastern Asia, of those in Africa, and they have never known anything of God. They have their own religions. They don't know anything about God. They never did. Now let me explain one thing right here. Man made the choice, but God was responsible when God says, I'm going to cut you off from me, because that's what man had chosen that he wanted. But if God cut them off, that means they did not have the knowledge of God, that they did not have the knowledge of salvation and eternal life, and that eternal life was never offered to them. Now that makes God the responsible party. I tell you, years ago, in the early years of Ambassador College, one of our students, as he was at that time, later became Dr. Herman L. Hay, wrote an article that was one of the first articles ever published in the Plain Truth that I didn't write myself, and it was headed, I Hold God Responsible. Now, most people thought he was accusing God. Oh, no. God was the responsible party. Well, God wasn't guilty of anything. Man is the guilty party. But God is responsible. What I mean is this. Those that God has not specially called, those that God has not called and opened their mind to the truth, have not been called. Therefore, they are not lost. There is an idea today, it's the greatest mistake made in the Christian world, that everybody must get, quote, saved, unquote. And I think that different denominations and different churches have different ideas of what that means. Some think it means going to heaven, others think it means giving immortal life and all that sort of thing. But nevertheless, those come off from God have no knowledge of that. So God is responsible for that fact. And the result is they are not saved, they are not lost. Now, God not only gave the Sabbath to man as a sign between him and man, he gave annual Sabbaths and holy days to his people. And of all things, that is the one thing that has been ridiculed and rejected almost more than anything I know. And yet, in that very thing, the annual festivals that God gave his people, Israel, was the outline of the master plan of God of what he's doing. And it shows that those being called now are just a few, one out of thousands, or one out of hundreds of thousands. That's all. Hardly more than one out of a million. And the others are blinded. The others have not heard the truth. And the others, not being responsible, God is responsible for that situation. And it shows that over 1,000 years from now into the future, there is going to be a great resurrection of billions of people. And they will be brought back in the human flesh just like they were. You read of it in the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. You read of it in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. And then God is going to open their eyes and their minds. And then they're going to look back and see the 6,000 years of man going his own way, man going the way of Satan, man in rebellion against God and God's government, man forming his own governments. And I didn't quite complete what I was starting to say a minute ago. God said to Adam, not only am I going to cut you off from me and all knowledge, but I sentence you to 6,000 years of forming your own governments. And that's what we have. And look at the wars. And I think I said last night, I had a note here somewhere that I was mentioning it last night, that there have been 133 wars since World War II. 133 wars between nations since 1945. And there have been wars. God said, form your own governments. That's what men have done. And their governments are only man-made, and they're not lasting. And they're being overthrown, and the thrones of these governments are being overthrown at the rate of one a month and have been for the last 3 or 4 years. And I know many of them. And I find that if I don't keep traveling around over the earth, that pretty soon the heads of governments that I knew are either dead or they're gone, and there's been a coup and they've been overthrown and they've fled into exile, and someone else is ruling now. God also said you will have to form your own religions. You won't have me for your God. So look at the religions we have in this world, and that is how they came about. This world has been blinded. This world is not known about God. It is not known about the things of God. And let me say right here that the highest educated men in this world are men who have been trained in their minds, but it's 100% physical, carnal, materialized information. They know only what can be seen through the eye, heard through the ear, smelled through the nose, tasted in the mouth, or known by feeling and touch. That's all. Now, you can't see spirit. You can't hear spirit. You can't smell, taste, or feel it. So there's no way that without a revelation from God that you can come to know the things of God. And that's why all these religions are so absolutely ridiculous when you come to know the truth. Men have been cut off from God. Well, I've said all of this before, but I want to bring this in background before I proceed. Now, God had simply sentenced the world to that for 6,000 years. But let me say that that 6,000 years is just almost completed now. We're in the very last generation of it. And that's why God has called me. That's why he has called you and this church. That's why he has called the Worldwide Church of God to carry his message out that the government of God is soon going to be restored on this earth. Now then, what does all that have to do with Jesus Christ that I started out talking about? Now I'm coming to that. As I said, God called Abraham, later he called Moses and the children of Israel. They rebelled. So then there are prophecies given to ancient Israel of how God would send the one who had been known as the Word, the spokesman, to be born as a human being, to come and one who, being God as well as man, he would be human so he could die. But he would also be God because God was his only father but born of a human mother. He was human as you and I. He was tempted on all points as you and I, but he was without sin because at the same time he was God. He was able to keep so close in touch with his Father that never once did he slip over in sin. Never once. He was tempted continually, so far as that's concerned, just as we all are, by this Satan, who is the prince of the power of the air, and through the spirit that is in us is getting into our minds an attitude of rebellion, an attitude of vanity, of lust and greed, of jealousy and envy, an attitude of competition and strife, and all based on vanity, exalting yourself. And God's way is self-humility and exalting God and seeking the way of God, which is the way to happiness, the way to peace, the way to our own well-being, which we all want or should want. Now then, we come to some prophecies made to this ancient nation Israel about God. And let me give you one here in Isaiah, the 9th chapter, and beginning in the 6th verse. For it says, for unto us, that's ancient Israel, as is written by the prophet Isaiah, unto us a child is born. So he would be of the nation Israel, and he was of the tribe of Judah, and therefore Jesus Christ was a Jew. The term Jew applies to the tribe of Judah, is a nickname for Judah. And actually, when Israel was divided into two nations, Levi and Benjamin stuck with Judah, and they were all called Jews because they took the name Judah. But the other Israelites were not Jews, never were called Jews, and they went out and became lost in the world to this day. Don't know where they are. Well, I know who they are, and I hope some of you speaking to me know. And if you don't know and would like to know, any of you write in for a very unique, a very important book or booklet. And it's free, and there's no charge. The United States and the British Commonwealth in prophecy. Where is the United States mentioned in the biblical prophecies? Well, this booklet will tell you, and of course there's no price whatsoever. Now, here is what Isaiah told for ancient Israel. Unto us a child is born, unto us, Israel, a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder. Now, the government of God had been on the earth. The government of God had gone. Adam had a chance to restore the government of God. It turned it down. Now, one is going to come who will qualify to take over and restore that government of God on this earth. There's something I want you to see. You don't hear in the world called Christianity anything about Christ as a ruler. And Christ is a government man that is going to set up a government over this earth. And yet that's what he came for. Now here it is in the prophecy, first in Isaiah. The government shall be on his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Not of darkness and unhappiness and trouble and evils, but of peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David, the ancient David of Israel, and upon his kingdom, or that government of ancient Israel, to order it and to establish it with judgment and truth and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Eternal of Hosts will perform it. Now, he has not yet come to rule. We're in the living generation after all these hundreds and hundreds of years, and even a few thousand years, when it's going to happen. That's why God is thundering this thing to the whole world. That's why he called me 51 years ago. In this world of darkness, to take the light that is in God's Word, the Bible, and get it to the world. And take this gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. Well, I'm coming to that. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? The world has never heard it. They don't know. But we're coming to that. Anyway, this one was to be born. See, unto us a child is born. He will grow up, and the government will be on his shoulders. Now, he's to restore the government that Adam rejected, and that the former Lucifer rejected. So then later, to Mary, the mother who became the human mother of Jesus, we find the angel said to her, and sent from God, and this is in Luke, the first chapter, beginning of verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. Espoused, in other words, engaged to be married, but not yet actually, the marriage had not been performed. And the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." In other words, here is one that God had decided to call and to choose to do something for him, to become the mother of the one who had been this great personage, the Word, who was now going to give up all that he had, divest himself of the great glory that he had had in the creation of everything that had ever been created, and come and be born as a human baby on this earth. "For, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Now listen. Listen now. "He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest," the Son of God, "and the Eternal, the Lord God, shall give unto him the throne of his father David." He's coming as a ruler. You hear Christ as a Savior, and if you just believe that and believe that he existed and so on, you'll be saved. Oh, no, you won't. If you know the Bible, if you understand what the Bible says, it takes a lot more than that. On the other hand, the overwhelming majority of all these people are not lost. They've never been judged yet, one way or the other. But I will say this, if you've come to know these things, if it has come to you to even want to know, and you turn it away and reject it, then maybe you can be lost. I'm not the judge of that, but I can warn you of that possibility. "The Lord God shall give to him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom," a ruler now, "of his kingdom there shall be no end." I want you to see that Jesus Christ came and was born to restore the government of God on this earth. Most people spiritualize it away. If you just, it's like getting the password. It reminds me of a young man, and this goes back about 45 years ago, up in Oregon. A young man came to me one time, and he said, "Oh, Mr. Armstrong," he says, "I gave my heart to the Lord last night." I said, "Oh, you did?" I said, "Well, where did you do that?" "Well, it was down in the First Christian Church." "Oh, well," I said, "isn't that wonderful? Was the Lord there?" "Well, no. Was a surgeon there? Did he cut you open? Were you able to reach in, take your heart out, and hand it to someone?" "Well, no." "Well, what do you mean you gave your heart to him then?" And he began to shake his head, and he said, "Well, I guess I just don't know." And I'm afraid that's about as much as a lot of people know who think they've given their heart to the Lord. We ought to understand what these things mean, but very few seem to. Anyway, Christ has come, born to be a king. Now then, Jesus himself, on trial for his very life, because, you know, he was crucified, and he went before Pontius Pilate, who was the Roman ruler in the land of Israel, or Palestine at that time, and in the 37th verse of John, the 18th chapter, John 18, verse 31, Pilate, therefore, said to Jesus, "Art thou a king then?" And Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born." To what end? To what purpose was he born? To become a king. Let's get that into what Christ was born for, as well as others. To become a king. "For this cause came I into the world, that I should both witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Well, if you're of the truth, you will hear it. But he also said in the verse just before that, the 36th verse, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world, this present world, this age, this time. It's of the future world, what we call the world tomorrow, of a time later than this world. This is Satan's world. This is man's world. That will be God's world. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I would not be delivered to the Jews to be crucified. But now is my kingdom not from hence, that's from this, from here, or from this time, and from this age. Jesus Christ was born to restore the government of God on this earth. Now then, the first Adam had to make a choice. You know that Jesus Christ had to make a choice too? Jesus Christ had to make a decision of whether he would go the way of God or whether he would go the way of Satan. And Satan was allowed to come to him and to tempt him. Now we find over here in Matthew, in the fourth chapter of Matthew, and the first 11 verses. Now, this is back right after Jesus was about 30 years old and just beginning his what is called his earthly ministry. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, a lot of people laugh at the idea of the devil. Well, let me tell you, you better not laugh, because the devil does exist, and the Bible is just full of accounts about him. He is a former super archangel, more powerful than all of us put together, I would say. He is very, very powerful. He is an evil spirit, and he broadcasts evil and evil attitudes into the minds of people everywhere. And when Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, you ever fast for 40 days and 40 nights without food or water? No, I'm sure not one of you ever has. But Jesus did. And was afterward very hungry, unhungered, it says here. And when the tempter, or Satan, came to him, Satan said, if thou be the Son of God. Notice that great big little two-letter word, if. He said, you have to prove it to me. I doubt it. I don't think you're the Son of God, but you think you are. If you are, now prove it. What a temptation and an appeal to vanity. You know, the average person said, well, I'll show you that I am. You have to know how big I am and how great I am. But Jesus didn't do that. Not at all. While he was human, he didn't have that type of human nature in him. That type of human nature comes from Satan the devil. It wasn't born into us at all. Now, when the tempter came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. In other words, you can perform the miracle if you're the Son of God. You prove it to me. I don't believe it. You know, the average person today, if you're challenged, you'd want to prove it, wouldn't you? Well, Jesus didn't have to do that. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, because it is written. In other words, just jump over. Because it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. So, you see, prove to me that you really believe an angel will grab you and not let you fall and get killed if you jump overboard. And in their hands they shall bear thee up. But Jesus said to him, it is written again. Jesus quoted the Bible. Jesus obeyed God. Jesus was going to obey the government of God. He came to be the ruler of that government. He said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And that's exactly what Satan was trying to do. Again, the devil driveth him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And he said to him, all these things will I give thee. Now, Satan knew better than most people do. Not very many preachers or ministers of the gospel know it today, that Jesus was born to be a king, but Satan certainly knew it. He said, all of these things, all these governments, these kingdoms will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now, Jesus did not deny that Satan was in control, more or less, of this whole world. He didn't deny it at all. Then said Jesus to him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord God, and him only shalt thou worship. Right then, he overcame Satan. But not only that, all his life he had a human mind. And Satan's temptation was coming into his mind to let vanity enter, to let a spirit of competition and strife, destruction instead of construction, jealousy and envy and things like that. But never once did Jesus allow one of those things to find lodgment or take root in his mind. Never once did they conceive and come into sin. So Christ had qualified now to restore the kingdom of God.
Because of the importance of this subject and other related topics, we are pleased to offer the following free literature. Men shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. When will man's dreams become reality? What would it take for the Arabs and Israelis to lay down their arms? What would it take for Russia and China to become allies? What would it take for all nations to forge their armaments into farm tools? The whole gospel of Jesus Christ is about a soon coming world government that will bring world peace. For a full understanding of this message of hope, request your free copy of What Do You Mean, the Kingdom of God? Read how mankind will learn to forge his swords into plowshares. Request What Do You Mean, the Kingdom of God? Send your request to Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California, 91123. That's Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California, 91123. You have heard The World Tomorrow with Herbert W. Armstrong.
Prophecies of the World.